is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us at 7:30. We'll get into the latest with the Tennessee Volunteers with him. Nashville Predators General Manager David Poyle joining us at 8 o'clock. Hockey right around the corner. Looking forward to that conversation with David Poyle. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock, our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us, as he does every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. We'll get into the NFL playoff races with him. So a lot still to come here on the show today on Robbie and Rex Road. But, Joe, some interesting information tossed out over the weekend by Adam Schefter from ESPN saying, quote, two NFL teams at least have reached out to Urban Meyer to see whether or not the former Ohio State coach would be interested in interviewing for, if not accepting, a head coaching job at the next level in the NFL. So I read that, Joe, and on the surface, I understand it. Urban Meyer has been successful everywhere that he's been. I think he's 187-32 in parts of 17 seasons at Ohio State, Florida, Utah, and in Bowling Green, obviously three national championships along the way as well. So I get it. Like, from a coaching pedigree standpoint, certainly he knows what he's doing, certainly is probably qualified to go and coach in the NFL. But I just think, honestly, Joe, that has disaster written all over it. Based on his personality, how he just kind of is abrasive, that you've heard from some of his coaching staffs, he's hard to work for at times. I'm not sure how well that he would connect to NFL players. I just don't know if I'm an NFL team that Urban Meyer would be the route that I would go.
Yeah, I would have been dubious of this a few months ago too, but did a couple, one in particular story on him and that 2012 Ohio State team, which, you know, because obviously Mike Vrabel was on that staff. So talked to a lot of people, including Urban, for that story. And honestly, I didn't quite realize the extent of his, what's the word? Aggressiveness would be a gentle word for it, but the way that he goes about things on a daily basis, like his entire approach is basically challenge people and put them on the spot in front of everyone every day. Coaches, players. Okay, what does this mean? What are you doing? I mean, like, he is big on challenging and pushing people and absolutely demanding every last drop of effort and intensity and focus and all that stuff, which, again, man, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's more of a college approach.
Right.
And, you know, Stuart Mandel for us, for theathletic.com, he wrote a column the other day, having covered Urban a lot over the years, his point being, like, that guy, every loss rips him apart. So what happens in a 6-10 NFL season?
Yeah.
You know, look, Urban Meyer, if you look at his career, you know, the guy, he was an assistant, some really good programs, of course, at, you know, like at Notre Dame. I mean, he went and won big at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. He has done nothing but win. Even at places where he didn't have advantages, he won. And then he went to places with advantages and he won. And he had more talent just about every time out. In his last two stints, Florida and Ohio State, just about every week he had much more talent than the opponent. That's not how it is in the NFL. So I just don't think – I don't think he fits at all.
I don't think he does either. And my question would be, like, if you're Urban Meyer, would you even want to go to the NFL? Like, I don't know what his coaching future looks like. I mean, I think everybody expects him at some point – to get back into college football and to take over a big-time program at somewhere along the pipe, like maybe Notre Dame at some point, maybe USC at some point, one of those big-time jobs in college football. But if you're Urban Meyer and you know how successful you've been at the college level, do you even entertain the idea of going to the NFL? Which, like you mentioned, Joe, I mean, it's just so different. I mean, you're dealing with professional athletes who may or may not respond well to the way that you go about doing things. Like, when you're a college kid right now, you don't have a whole lot of say in it. Like, you can transfer, I guess, but once you're there, you're committed, especially at a place like Ohio State that has the tradition, that has the talent, that has the path to the NFL, and you look at Urban Meyer's track record, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll put up with this guy. I'll listen to exactly what he has to say. But if you're a dude making, you know, I don't know, $15, $20 million a year, are you going to sit there and listen to Urban Meyer do that every day? Like, I just wonder, from Urban Meyer's perspective, how much interest he would actually have in an NFL job.
Yeah. Now, look, I do think that, I mean, Urban Meyer's a smart guy. And, you know, we've seen this in some cases where college coaches, you know, sometimes college basketball coaches, the NBA, they switch up how they approach things a little bit. I mean, it's got to be different. And he would understand that. I don't think he would do it exactly the same way. But also, I mean, Urban Meyer's health issues, a lot of people, I know, we're like, oh, sure, Urban, you got, yeah, you got this or that or whatever. You know, Saban's kicking your butt. You just want to get out of the SEC, on and on. But, you know, he has real health issues. He has had real health issues. That's not just like made up stuff. And that's another thing to think about. Like, you want to sign up for that, for this grind? I think the only way Urban Meyer coaches again, I just can't believe that. I can't believe that he would jump at one of these jobs. I think the only way he coaches again to me is if Notre Dame. You mentioned Notre Dame. I think that's the job. I don't think USC even is something that he would do. I think Notre Dame, you know, that's sort of home for him, and I could see that. You know, if Brian Kelly is someone who I can see in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, I think that even though he would have to change his approach up some too, I guess if you're Urban, I mean, look, if you're looking at the Jaguars and you're like, man, Trevor Lawrence, you know, a decade with Trevor Lawrence, and look at all the draft capital that team has, if they, you know, if they make good choices. I mean, I don't know. Does Urban, is it one of those coach GM deal? Give me full control, roster and coach, and I get Trevor Lawrence. I feel like, you know, living back in Florida near the beach, maybe I'd feel pretty good about things. I mean, I get, you know, something like, it would have to be a really attractive situation like that. Not just, you know, like, oh, I don't know, the freaking Lions, you know, like, you run the hell away from that one.
Well, I know Jags fans would be fired up about Urban Meyer coming back. I mean, they would love it. Talking about bringing the former Gators coach back in there, Trevor Lawrence in there. They'd think they were on a path to the Super Bowl.
It just reminds me a little bit. It is different, but like, I think of Steve Spurrier, you know, going to Washington, and it was like, oh, he's going to bring this, you know. Now, one big difference there is like the NFL schematically is way more aligned with college football now than it was then. You know, a lot of those concepts are actually being borrowed and or just stolen by NFL coaches. So, you know, I think Urban could do a lot of the stuff he liked to do with his offenses, and it could actually work in the NFL, whereas it used to be such a big chasm between college offenses and pro offenses.
Right.
But, you know, look, man, if you're an NFL coach, if you're an NFL head coach, one thing you should do is, like, if you want to read something in The Athletic, you should actually subscribe, you know, like there should be some prerequisites here.
There's some shade there, Joe.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Did Urban Meyer possibly reach out to you at some point?
Well, I mean, Urban Meyer, I mean, I, like I said, I did that big story on Urban Meyer. He was great. He was great from an interviewing perspective.
I guess he was. So, if you're Urban Meyer, and this is an interesting question, I think, for not just him, but if you're like a top-level coach in college football, what's more attractive to you, going to the NFL and trying to succeed there, or staying in college where, quite frankly, like, you look around at Saban and Dabo Sweeney and some of these upper echelon coaches, certainly Urban Meyer falls into this mold, where the money is just there. It's there in college football. Like, to me, if I'm a top-level college football coach, I don't even entertain, unless you're going for, like, the Raiders and they sign you to a $100 million contract, I don't even entertain going to the NFL because the money right now is in college football with these coaches.
Yeah, it's – a lot of it is – it's sort of the – it's the – the question of life balance versus, you know, not having to deal with a draft and a league that wants everyone to be 8-8. You know, I mean, you know, because again, you are going to, if you are a head coach for a certain amount of time in the NFL, you're going to lose. You have losing seasons. Bill Belichick had losing seasons. I mean, Nick Saban found it out. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go to Alabama and I'm going to just have the best players every week. How about that? Enough of this, you know, Dante Culpepper crap, you know, I'm going to do that. And it's worked out great for him. Now the counter though is, man, it is awfully nice to not have to be constantly texting and calling high school kids. You know, it's a matter of where you are. Are you at a place that kind of recruits for itself? Do you have a staff that's great at recruiting and you're just sort of, you just kind of come in and seal the deal sometimes? Because a lot of head coaches really have to grind a lot on the recruiting trail. It's not just their assistants. So, I mean, that, and it's just, it's a constant thought process as a college coach. You are constantly thinking about recruiting. Everything you say is about how does this influence recruiting? And so you get to the NFL and that's just gone. You have it all. Okay. I got a month, 2 months away. Everybody's gone from the facility. I'm just going to go golf.
Yeah.
And that's not the reality in college football. So that's the thing. So it's only if you can be at a place that sort of has the built-in advantages, but that's where Urban would be anyway, if he goes back to college.
And speaking of college, 102.5 The Game's college football game of the week is a doubleheader presented by Gary Force Acura. It all starts with the Rose Bowl as number one Alabama takes on number four Notre Dame, followed by the Sugar Bowl with number two Clemson facing off against number three Ohio State. It starts at 2 p.m. on 102.5 The Game this Friday, so make sure you're tuning in for that. When we come back, it's been relatively quiet on the Jeremy Pruitt front lately for the Tennessee Volunteers. What does that mean? Is he safe officially moving into next season? We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Josh Ward, our good friend from WNML in Knoxville, he'll join us at 7:30 to talk all things Tennessee Volunteers. So looking forward to that conversation with him. But Joe, as far as Tennessee is concerned, it's been relatively quiet on the Jeremy Pruitt front as of late. Now, there was an incident the past few days on the Rock at Tennessee, and Tennessee fans continue to make their voices known about their displeasure with Jeremy Pruitt and their displeasure with the current state of the Tennessee football program in ways that only Vols fans can. But there hasn't been a whole lot surrounding Jeremy Pruitt the last couple of weeks. Do we feel like at this point that he is safe and that he is officially going to be back heading into next season for the Tennessee Volunteers as their football coach? Or do you leave open the possibility, Joe Rexrode, that he still could get fired?
Do you remember our called shots from December 11th?
I do.
My called shot was at Jeremy. Yeah, I'm not retracting my called shot.
Okay.
I'm not retracting my called shot. I think there's a long way to go here. I mean, and when I say a long way to go, a lot to figure out in a short period of time. But Tennessee fans right now should not just assume Jeremy Pruitt is the head coach in 2021.
Okay. Well, you know what got rolling the other night, Joe, because Liberty comes in there and they get it done against Coastal Carolina. And Hugh Freeze, he's been tweeting up a storm since then and congratulating all the Liberty fans and taking pictures with his family, and Tennessee fans have been taking it and photoshopping it as a Tennessee Volunteer Christmas card with his family. Again, ways that only Volunteer fans can do this. So the Hugh Freeze hype after his big win against Coastal Carolina, it's back on the rails, baby. I thought we were moving past it at this point, but it's back there. It's never going away.
Yeah, didn't he disqualify himself with that goal line crap? I mean
you would
that,
think so. Good Lord.
Yes, the Freeze Chadwell battle for the Tennessee job somehow still ended up going to Hugh Freeze there. That's the thing. I mean, if Tennessee does fire Jeremy Pruitt, which by the way, if Jeremy Pruitt gets fired here in the near future, I do wonder about Philip Fulmer. I mean, I know the Rock just got repainted to fire both of them.
Yes.
From these Tennessee fans who are doing a lot of painting of the Rock. Because the last official word we got from anybody was Fulmer giving basically his word that Pruitt will be back in 2021.
Right.
I mean, in so many words, that's what he said, you know, talking about the bowl game, look forward to spring practices, all that stuff. So I do wonder, and again, this is tied to this investigation. No matter what you think about, you know, the presence of this investigation and how it may have some kind of impact on, you know, buyout, negotiating a lower buyout, firing with cause, whatever the case may be. You know, it's a real thing. I mean, there's some serious stuff. It's one of those things where I think if in a lot of these cases, if there's a strong, you know, the head coaching question is doing really well, you know, these investigations often find a scapegoat or two, and, you know, the head coach is sort of protected. But if not, if things aren't going well, if the head coach is losing, you know, they can suddenly it can be more damning to the head coaching question. So, I mean, it's been very quiet on that whole front, but there's a lot of stuff going on, believe me, on the investigation. So then my question would be, what is the status of Philip Fulmer? Does he get to pick the next guy?
Yeah, and if not, like what direction do you go if you're Tennessee from there? I mean, it's always a mess in Knoxville, and there's never a dull moment around, but that is a great question. If Fulmer's come out, he's given his statement of support of Jeremy Pruitt, and things end up going a different direction based on whatever the results of this investigation could be, you do have to wonder about Fulmer's future at that point. And I wonder, like, obviously we don't know, like, the specific details of what's going on in the investigation, but I wonder how quick the leash would be at Tennessee, depending on what they find, to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt, because the on-field part of this has got to be a part of the discussion too. Like, to your point, if Jeremy Pruitt went 8-2 this year and the investigation comes back and it's not good for him and not good for Tennessee, I still think there's a chance that he holds on to his job.
Right.
If it's 3-7, like it was, and the investigation comes back, probably talking about a different story at that point.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, the thing is, if it got to that and they fire Pruitt, you know, I mean, how could you? I mean, the thing is, like, from Fulmer's perspective, I mean, I believe Fulmer supports Pruitt and believes that Pruitt should have next year. And Fulmer is obviously, he's a football coach at heart. He's a guy who believes in people having time. He made the Johnny Majors reference earlier this season talking about Pruitt. So I think that's all genuine. Now, you know, you have something like this that can change things. From Fulmer's perspective, it can still be like, well, look, I mean, this stuff happened, and so now give me a chance to hire someone. The problem is, again, now you're in a weird hiring cycle. You again, would have not a real, you know, like coaching search, a traditional coaching search where you start when most programs start and you have – a certain amount of time, certain amount of available candidates. You'd be in a weird time of year to be doing that. So I still think you should have a lot of interest in the job from coaches out there, but I don't know that you would. So, but from Fulmer's perspective, would he be on board with staying around and, you know, picking the next coach? I don't know.
No, and the other part of this is what's going to happen with the players on the roster right now. Like, we've already seen some movement. JT Stroud, he enters the transfer portal, ends up at Colorado. Jared Garantano has entered the transfer portal. And you look at kind of some numbers of kids leaving programs throughout the SEC over the last year or so, and Tennessee's at the top of the list. I mean, they've got more people leaving the program than Vanderbilt does right now. So as this continues to unfold and as – you try to dig through the weeds here if you're Tennessee, and whatever the investigation yields, how does that affect the roster? How many kids are wanting to transfer? How many kids are wanting to jump ship before something potentially goes wrong with this coaching staff? I mean, a lot still at stake, a lot still on the table here for this football program. And quite frankly, None of it's good. And that's been the story of Tennessee football for the last 12 years.
Right. So Will Friend goes to South Carolina. Yeah. So another staff. And, you know, I know people – look, the offensive line did not live up to the hype this year. So I know some Vols fans are like, oh, good riddance. Get him out of here, you know. But, you know, I mean, I think he's been a pretty decent coach. That's not just like, oh, goody, Will Friend's gone. I mean, I think, frankly, like Chris Wanky would be more – that'd be more justified celebration. Based on what we've seen from the quarterback position with the Vols. But, you know, it's just another – it's also just another spot you have to replace, and you're asking the coaching community out there to come in here. I mean, look, it's attractive to go to Tennessee, okay, to be paid what you're paid there, to have the advantages you have there. But that's a little different if you're not sure about the status of the head coach. And the best-case scenario for Jeremy Pruitt is, okay, you get 2021 – blow us away, right? I mean, that's the best case scenario. So it's just not easy to hire a staff. And to your point there, how many players are going to kind of drift toward the portal because they're not sure of what's going on? I mean, this is why the longer this drags out, I think the more chance you have, for basically the 2021 team, whoever's coaching it, to be weakened.
So now you've got Shroud out the door, Garantano's out the door in the transfer portal as well. Do you think Brian Maurer's next? Do you think he's back on this team next year?
I would think he would be next. I'm kind of surprised, actually, that he hasn't gotten in there yet. But I don't know. I mean, I suppose if you're him, you could look at it and say, well, JT and Jared are gone, so now I just have to worry about Bailey and Salter. I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, certainly Pruitt or whoever is coaching next year would love to have that depth and, you know, be able to have him back to provide depth. But if you're Brian Maurer, are you happy providing depth? Are you going to get a real opportunity next year? I mean, I would think he'd go somewhere else.
I would think so too. But, you know, Joe, maybe he really enjoys like the drawn up one play per game that they throw him in there for like the quarterback draw or the RPO that we saw at the end of the year, where for some reason that was just a part of their plan for the last 3 or 4 weeks of the year. One play for Brian Maurer.
He wants to be their Taysom Hill, yes. I guess. I mean, you know, maybe.
We all know how much you love
but,
that
package. But, you know, seriously, oh, big time. But, obviously, Maurer is a part of this investigation, by the way.
Right. I mean,
that's been reported. And so I don't know if that complicates, like, his situation right now in terms of, like, looking somewhere else or not. But maybe it does.
Well, one thing's for sure, it's never dull around Tennessee football and that football program. And to help us talk more about it, Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us when we come back. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about the Tennessee Volunteers. Never dull around that football program. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, hope you had a Merry Christmas. Thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thank you.
So, Josh, where does Jeremy Pruitt stand right now? I guess it's relatively quiet compared to Tennessee standards on the Jeremy Pruitt front. What's the latest? Obviously, the investigation's still going on. How stable of a ground is Jeremy Pruitt on right now?
Yeah, some fans would maybe argue too quiet when it comes to what they're hearing or not hearing right now with Tennessee football and how things have gone in the past. That's a very good question. I don't know exactly what the answer is. You can find different opinions on how stable Jeremy Pruitt's situation is, what the investigation means, how serious it is, and what it's going to mean for him and his staff members. But that's an obvious question that's kind of just hanging out there right now with Tennessee football. And until there is something finalized with that, I don't know that we're getting anything finalized with Jeremy Pruitt. And are we going to get something publicly at some point if he is your head coach? I think that needs to be made clear because in the meantime, we're continuing to hear rumors and things spread very easily. And check out The Rock today, and they have another updated message for Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer. So another day, another week in Tennessee football.
Yeah, that's the thing, Josh. If it does go the way of, you know, whatever happens with the investigation, it's not something that's going to touch Jeremy Pruitt. Like, is what I'm assuming you just answered for me, you know, but I've kind of had this question, like, is what Philip Fulmer said, which was talking about Pruitt, you know, look forward to supporting him in the spring and all that stuff. Like, is that enough of a statement? I mean, don't they have to come out and say something else, somebody?
Well, at some point, yeah, a final decision has to be made, if that's what even it has to be. Maybe the decision is just that they're going to keep moving forward with the program with Jeremy Pruitt, but that needs to be made clear. Having a line and a statement about a bowl game that's now been canceled, it obviously is not doing enough because of the conversation that we're having right now and a lot of people are having with Tennessee football. But what does that mean behind the scenes? Because, you know, when the report comes out about the investigation during the Texas A&M game, an obvious thought is, okay, well, this is in some way being done to try to create a problem for Jeremy Pruitt in trying to remain as Tennessee's head coach. But I don't think that's from Philip Fulmer, because Philip Fulmer has made it clear, I think privately and somewhat publicly, that he wants Jeremy Pruitt to be his head coach. So what does the rest of the administration think? Chancellor Donde Plowman, President Randy Boyd, influential people with the University of Tennessee, what is their status? And where do they stand on Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer as the athletic director? Those are questions we should probably be asking, because that will certainly influence Jeremy Pruitt's future at Tennessee.
So, Josh, I don't know exactly what percentage of Tennessee fans are out on Jeremy Pruitt at this point, but let's just say for the sake of this discussion that he is back and he's coming back for his fourth year next year. What's it going to take, in your opinion, for Pruitt to find his way back into the good graces of Tennessee fans next year? Because I wonder, like, at this point, with some of this fan base, if he's already just fighting a losing battle in that regard.
Yeah, with some of them, he is probably, and it would take a whole lot. It would take a win probably against Florida, Georgia, or Alabama, which seems unlikely for next season. I think the baseline answer would be you need to at least get back to where you're beating those teams that you did in 2019 and fans expected Tennessee to beat this past season and then did not. Kentucky and Arkansas would be those obvious two teams that Tennessee lost to. So you need to beat all of those teams. I don't think there's one game that fans would give Jeremy Pruitt and say, well, you lost to Kentucky and that's okay. Or you think losing to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin would be a good idea? I don't. So when you look at the non-conference schedule, the way that it's set up, it's very manageable for Tennessee, with Pitt being the toughest non-conference opponent most likely. And then in conference, you need to be more competitive against Alabama and Georgia and Florida, but I think you at least have to beat all of those other teams. And could that happen? Absolutely. We just saw Tennessee do that in conference play, at least in 2019. That's still a season that included losses to Georgia State and BYU. So that, to me, also says Tennessee needs to get a lot better. The offense needs to be a lot better if Tennessee's going to make a run at, let's say, 8-4 at the very worst. I mean, I think a lot of fans might say 9-3. You can lose to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, but that's it. You can't lose to anybody else.
Yeah, I'd agree. I almost think he needs to go 10-2, and like you said, win one of those games, or at least everyone back behind him. So, Josh, Will Friend to South Carolina. How big of a deal is this, and what's the concern level right now of, you know, staffers who are somewhat in limbo at this point, trying to find out what's happening, and then also players maybe looking elsewhere just because of the instability of the situation?
There's a lot to get figured out there, sure. One thing to watch, I guess, could be if Jeremy Pruitt makes a hire for his staff, because he has two openings right now on the defensive line, and now the offensive line coach position is open with Will Friend going to South Carolina. If Jeremy Pruitt were to make a hire, that would be a good sign, because I doubt too many coaches would be interested in coming to Tennessee, unless Tennessee's handing out multi-year contracts to somebody who could be fired in the next 6 weeks anyway. Then you can go get a buyout and get hired somewhere else. But if he's making a hire, that's a good indication that they're moving forward with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach, and he's been given clearance to make a hire. But is that going to happen anytime soon? I don't think there's really any pressure to do that in the next few days. And that's part of the issue here, is that fans want an answer last week, and they want an answer now of what exactly is happening. And it could happen this week, but we could get to Friday. It's New Year's Day, and you're heading into next week still asking a lot of these same questions. But you asked about the transfer portal and players on the roster and all that stuff. That's something to pay attention to. Will we see more players enter the portal to leave Tennessee? My guess would be yes. I think that we'll at least see, you know, one or two more players, maybe more, decide to leave. And Tennessee's going to be active on the transfer market, trying to get players to come in. Of course, those players want answers too on what is the status and the future of Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. So everything's in limbo right now with Tennessee's future.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, I mean, the last time we talked, we were talking about the quarterback room and was JT Schrout going to be a part of it. And now we know that he's not. He's transferred. He is in Colorado right now, which probably means he's going to end up winning the Heisman Trophy at some point now that he's transferred out of Tennessee. But that aside, how big of a loss is it for Tennessee with JT Schrout leaving? And what does the quarterback room look like right now, when you're, in your opinion? How do you handle that if you're Tennessee moving forward?
Well, it's funny. The last few weeks, we saw the split of Harrison Bailey and JT Schrout on the field, and Jeremy Pruitt said, yeah, we're looking toward the future with getting those guys reps. I'm sure Colorado appreciates that, that JT Schrout was able to get some important reps to maybe help his chances of being better for the Buffaloes in the future. But I would handicap it as Harrison Bailey is your favorite to be the starter in 2021. Caden Salter is going to come in and compete. I imagine Tennessee's going to look for a transfer to come in and at least compete for starting position or add depth, because I don't see Brian Maurer as a realistic candidate to be a starting quarterback for Tennessee next year. So the room is thinned out with Jared Garantano and JT Schrout leaving. And I don't know what the fair expectation should be for Caden Salter. He's highly regarded, but what is this spring going to look like? And a lot of people think that he might need some time to develop, which is fine. That's the case with most quarterbacks when they come in. But expectations will probably be that he comes in and competes and pushes Harrison Bailey to be a potential starter right away. Maybe that ends up being the case, but I would still consider Harrison Bailey the favorite as of now, but things can change, as we know, with Tennessee and with Tennessee's quarterback position.
All right, speaking of expectations, I want to switch to a sport that Tennessee fans should be much more excited about,
yeah.
Men's college basketball. Number 7, Tennessee. Number 12, Missouri. Huge opener tomorrow. How excited should Tennessee fans be about this team, Josh? And am I being presumptuous here and looking at the SEC, looking at just Kentucky being awful, and just thinking that Tennessee might just dominate the league this year?
That could happen. I still think you'll see some ups and downs for just about everybody, and that will probably include Tennessee, and we'll get a pretty good idea if that's the case tomorrow night, because if Tennessee goes to Missouri and wins, that's a quality win. Missouri might be one of the best teams in the SEC. Still early, but they certainly have two of the best wins for the conference going into league play, with wins against Oregon and Illinois. And you're finally getting to leave Thompson Bowling and go get a real road environment against Missouri. And not what you typically see, of course, because you don't have the full capacity. But this is a real test. I think it'll be a pretty good basketball game. Conzo Martin's team is experienced, and as I mentioned, they have good wins. They're unbeaten as well. They play good defense. So they're a little bit more offensive-minded as long as the shots are falling. So that'll be something to pay attention to. But could Tennessee dominate the league record-wise? I think that's potentially there, because I think Tennessee's the clear favorite going in. I think the league has a bunch of teams that could be good and tough outs every single game that you play. But who is the number two? Could it be Missouri? Could it be LSU? Could it be somebody else? Can Kentucky get back into it to where they're closer to the team in league play that we thought at the start of the season? I don't see it right now, but maybe that happens. But the one team that I think everybody's confident in right now is Tennessee, and fans should be confident. Fans should be excited. This is a team that's deep, talented, everything that we talked about Tennessee could be. I think they've shown signs of being to start the season. They need to be a little bit better offensively. I still have questions about shooting. And Rick Barnes talked about consistency needing to be there. You're probably going to hear every coach say that. Tennessee has it all, though. They have experience. They have depth. They have athleticism. They have playmaking ability, different ball handlers, and then they're elite defensively. I'm very confident in saying that. This is a Tennessee team that could accomplish a lot. They could win the SEC. They could go on the deepest run in tournament history for Tennessee basketball.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, last thing for you to that regard, we had Rick Barnes on the show last week, and he was talking about Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer and how great they've been defensively so far. As you look at those two very talented freshmen, what's the next step for them, in your opinion?
I want to see if they receive more opportunity on the offensive side. Jaden Springer is a guy that I like when he has the basketball. I like his playmaking ability. I think you've seen his natural scoring ability at times here to start the season. And I think as they get more comfortable and their teammates get more comfortable with them, you're probably going to see more opportunities for them on the offensive end. I think that's where it stands out, because they just have to play defense if they're going to get more minutes for Rick Barnes. And what I like about them the most, it's not the natural basketball ability they have. It's not the athleticism and the talent. It's the fact that they've come in and the effort's been good overall. And the way that you've seen Keon Johnson work on defense has really stood out to me. But they just had a different dynamic that Tennessee basketball really hasn't had recently. And the team a couple of years ago was really good, but I don't think anybody on that team was as talented as these two guys, which I think a lot of people would agree with. And it adds to the depth. This is the deepest team Rick Barnes has had. So I would say more opportunity, more minutes, and more playmaking opportunities for Springer and probably Keon Johnson on the offensive side.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Josh, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us, and we will talk to you in the new year.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. Josh. When we come back, we talked a little bit there about Rick Barnes and the success that he's had turning around this Tennessee men's basketball program. Is there a candidate like that that could be out there for Tennessee football? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. Nashville Predators general manager David Poyle will join us at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Hockey, finally, right around the corner here in Nashville, Tennessee. A lot to get to with David Poyle.
16 days away.
16 days. Man, it feels good to say that. It's been way too long since we've had some live hockey to talk about, so make sure that you're tuning in for that. But we had Josh Ward on from WNML in Knoxville in the last segment, Joe, and look, we get it. It's a mess right now with Tennessee football, and you look over to the basketball side of things, going pretty swimmingly for Rick Barnes and company. And Rick Barnes, a guy that obviously had some success at Texas and was fired there for, you know, the NCAA tournament performances that have followed him around throughout his coaching career. I think he's got a great chance this year maybe to change that narrative a little bit with this particular Tennessee team. But as you look around at this football program, obviously Barnes has come in with basketball and has really changed the culture, changed the direction of this Tennessee basketball program. Are there candidates out there that you think could do that, that are realistic for Tennessee to find? Because you got to remember, like, I mean, Barnes was fired by Texas and he just finds his way to Tennessee. It's a great hire made by Tennessee at that point. Is there somebody out there like that that you think is realistic for Tennessee football if Jeremy Pruitt ultimately doesn't work out and isn't the guy for the Vols? I think we may have lost Rex Road for a second, but that's okay. We'll try to get him back here on the
No, I'm looking at him. No, he was on mute. I was looking at the Zoom, and he was on mute.
How many times do we have to do this?
Gosh! Dang! You know, and the thing is, I was just trying to be polite during the commercial break as I, you know, made a nice coffee in the Keurig.
Okay.
Because I didn't want you guys to have to hear all the bubbling and everything, and then I blew it. Gosh, and I actually thought earlier in the show, too, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to have any muted.
You know, we
today.
Appreciate your consideration. We had our buddy Hibbs on Twitter reach out last week and say, you know what? You got to work on these muting things. And you're right. I think it is part of your charm. But that one took me off guard. It's been a minute since you've had one.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it was a mute, and then like I'm scrambling to like find it and everything. So it
just
was
panic.
It was an extended mute issue. So I apologize. Just like, listen to the listeners again. I apologize for my muting issues. I apologize for not talking more about Fred O'Banion, the Tennessee Titans media fantasy football league champion. I will at least fix one of those two issues before the day is over.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
On Rick Barnes, here's the thing. I was making this awesome point on mute to no one, talking to myself. you know, what you'd have to have is you'd have to have a coach. If you really want to follow the Rick Barnes path, you'd have to bring in a coach who no one's excited about, right? Like a coach who like when Rick Barnes was hired at Tennessee, and I will tell you, I was in Michigan at the time, I said the same thing. I'm like, oh gosh, I mean, come on, what is this? Like, is just this one more payday for Rick Barnes? You know, like it was okay at Texas, but he had all those great players and one Final Four and all this stuff, and like, what's he gonna do at Tennessee? You know, that's what I thought. I feel pretty confident saying, you tell me, Robbie, you'd know better than me. Vols fans' excitement level of Rick Barnes when he was hired was what? On a scale of 1 to 10.
I would say right at about a 4.5, like lukewarm water.
Okay. That's actually not, I mean, I would have guessed like a 2.5. So, you know, that's a little better than I would have thought, but it wasn't high, right? And it was just sort of like, yeah, okay, this guy, he's a little older. That's the thing. So if you're going to take it to this, like I think of someone, like I think of coaches who have been successful, but maybe not as successful, but can come in to this program. And that's what I think the thing with Rick Barnes, you don't think of Tennessee men's basketball. It doesn't have the great tradition. It doesn't have the tradition of the Lady Vols. Doesn't have the tradition of the football program, but it does have the resources.
Yeah.
It has a lot of great advantages. And Rick Barnes correctly saw that. And he saw, you know, passionate fan. I mean, Tennessee at large has such a fan base that whatever sport is doing well will have massive support, right? Baseball is coming on now, big time support. Softball has been a great program, on and on. Like, you've got a huge fan base for whatever you. So, look, man, I mean, that arena, which I think is too big, and I think is, I mean, like, to me, it's way too spacious. But still, a couple years ago, when I was in there for a lot of those games, and that place absolutely rocked. I mean, absolutely packed to the gills for that great team. So he has taken advantage of the situation. So what in football, you have to look at Tennessee on the good side, look at the resources, the fan base, the stadium, all that stuff, and say, man, that could be special. Now, you also, you know, you kind of look at the dysfunction, and I think that's why some coaches have been scared. A guy who, you know, like Greg Schiano, I don't think fit, but that's the kind of coach. A coach who has had success somewhere else, who maybe isn't the young, hot coach up and coming right now, but has demonstrated the ability. So a guy I think of is like Brett Bielema, okay? Is going to be really interesting at Illinois. I don't know if it's going to work out for him. I think he totally blew it leaving Wisconsin for Arkansas in the SEC West. He had a great thing going. But that's a guy who, you know, is he done? Does he have all the energy needed to keep winning or not? It's a good question. We didn't know with Rick Barnes. He has slam dunked on everyone with this program, what he's done. I mean, he's just done a tremendous job, and they are recruiting now at a level that, I mean, this is not the last great Tennessee basketball team we're going to see. Who is out there like that? I mean, I do think of the coach that I keep pushing out there. It's not quite the same, but Tom Allen of Indiana is a guy I'm going to push for Tennessee until he says for sure he's staying in Indiana or someone else hires him away. I think he could be great.
I like it. I'm all for Tom Allen, and right now, I'm really all for anybody that's not Jeremy Pruitt. I'll be honest with you.
I've got somebody that I feel like you guys are overlooking.
Okay.
And you've been overlooking it for the last, like, 3 weeks. I threw this name out at y'all, and y'all laughed at me.
Okay.
All right? What? Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
Gus Malzahn would fit a similar profile as Rick Barnes at Texas, where Gus has played in a national championship.
Right.
Let's not overlook that. He won at least 8 games at Auburn in 6 of his 8 seasons there. Wouldn't you sign up for that in Knoxville? He beat Alabama 3 times.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd sign up for it. I still have just a lot of questions about that offense and how successful it can be now. But, yeah.
Sure.
I think Gus Malzahn's better than Jeremy Pruitt? Heck yeah.
He has won games in the SEC. He has proven that. And I feel like a lot of people just dismiss him because of some of the inconsistencies. But I'll tell you what, he's a lot more consistent than what Tennessee's had at head coach the last decade.
No, it's a great point. And I'll take Gus Malzahn 100 times out of 100 over Hugh Freeze. I mean, I just absolutely.
Do you despise Hugh Freeze?
Yeah, I feel
well, I mean, Hugh Freeze,
Rex Rhodes hates like Hugh Freeze is getting worse.
Right, like Hugh Freeze has done something to Joe, like, personally.
Well, he's just full of crap. I mean, and you should be able to see it from a mile away. So, for example, like, Rick Barnes is a man of faith who I believe is, I think he lives it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Hugh Freeze is full of crap. So, you know, I mean, look, doesn't mean he's not a good coach. I mean, I like his offenses. He's done some good stuff, but he's full of crap. And so I don't want that. I don't want a guy who's full of crap. I want someone who's genuine and real. I think Rick Barnes fits that bill. I think Tom Allen fits that bill. Funny enough, of course, Tom Allen has worked with Hugh Freeze, has been his assistant in a couple different spots. But I think Gus is a great point, honestly. And that's the thing. The question is, like, when Rick Barnes came in, there wasn't – and I know football and basketball are the same, but there wasn't, like, a schematic question of, like, oh, he does it. Like, sometimes it's like, yeah, I mean, pressing used to work, but it just doesn't work like it did, you know, whatever, like Patino or something. But that is the only thing I have. The only beef I have with Gus is what Robbie said there is, does his offense, like, you know, sometimes these offenses have moments in time where, like, they really have an edge on people, and then they figure them out. And I don't think he's adjusted enough with it. And I think you got to be able to throw the ball well. But overall, as a someone in charge of a program, he could get Tennessee absolutely to winning 8-9 every year. And if you're a Vols fan right now, are you not signing up for that? I mean, I know you want more than that, but, like, start there?
Like, create a baseline of some sort.
I'd sign up for him right now.
I mean, Gus Malzahn's won 39 SEC games in his 8 years at Auburn.
Yeah.
In those 8 years, Tennessee won 24 SEC games.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I understand there are questions about Gus, but at the end of the day, he has proven that he can win games a lot more than Jeremy Pruitt, Butch Jones, or Derek Dooley.
Look, I agree. I don't think there's any question about that. I just know also how Tennessee's fan base is. And once you get 3 or 4 years into it, and Gus Malzahn has not gotten you in an SEC title game, this process is going to start over, at least among the fan base. Not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what will happen.
Well, okay, so let's take him to – because, again, Butch Jones got you back-to-back 9-win seasons. And like you said, I mean, he was out of there. They should have won the East in 16. We know how it went down. But if you had got to that same point with the program, okay, if you can get there now, and you aren't a complete embarrassment whenever you speak publicly, like, isn't there, you know, like, I mean, yeah, at some point, I think if you get to your 5 or 6 and you're not getting to Atlanta, then I think you're right. At some point, and it's like, okay, this has been good, but it's not good enough. But you are then in a much better spot than you are now. I mean, and to me, like, you kind of almost have to start thinking that way. Like, get us to respectable, you know?
And then you can worry about championships after that, yeah.
And then maybe, okay, thank you for your service, and now this job doesn't look like such a tire fire to these other coaches, which it clearly does at this point. That's the problem.
No, I think that's a great point. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. Nashville Predators general manager David Poile will join us. Hockey is right around the corner. Looking forward to that conversation. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.